Good morning. I'm sort of excited today about this class because there's something fantastic here. And if you hear it, if you catch it, your life will never be the same. I'm not exaggerating. I'm not pretending. It's true. If you catch this principle, your life will never be the same. Now, I'm not so much meaning that this chapter 9, two or more gathered together, is the principle, but the principle that was revealed while I was studying this chapter. This is an impartation from within, and I hope I can get it across, or I hope that Spirit can get it across. So I want you to have a meditation if you haven't. We had one at 11 o'clock this morning, and hopefully you joined in that, but if not, have one now. And even if you're driving or something, you can blink the eyes and try to realize omnipresence. Come into a place of receptivity so that you can receive Him. Then listen to this talk. Alright, we're studying The Altitude of Prayer by Joel Goldsmith, Chapter 9. And he begins with, throughout the world, there are groups of students on the spiritual path who meet together regularly, some daily, some weekly, and whether large or small, they meet for one purpose, to abide in God consciousness. They have no motive other than to be a blessing and a benediction. And so if we all approach this talk, this meditation, this chapter, this study, with one motive, to be a blessing and a benediction, then we will be. We are a group that meets once a week, at least. And we form one consciousness. And in this consciousness, with the motive to be a blessing and a benediction, we all are pouring out from the spiritual storehouse within. So he says, wherever two or more are gathered together for the purpose of God realization, there is the temple of God, and God is in His temple. Where there are two or more, that united consciousness brings forth great fruitage. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And I was taught early on that in my name means not in the name of Jesus, it means in my nature. And so if you have the same nature as Christ Jesus, you are gathered together in His name, and that nature is one of pouring out. You can sit and silently do the work which will bear fruitage in a group activity and further fruitage in healing to those who attend these meetings. Now that's all of us, and all of us right now is about 225. We should form a consciousness that can save the world, because 10 righteous men can save a city. 225 can save the world. And I'm serious about this. We are not so concerned with numbers as we are with attracting those who are seeking spiritual light, and then giving them the fruitage after they have come here. Mystical Principles has never, ever advertised. It's entirely, if you find it, if you are drawn to the light that is Mystical Principles, then you are part of this group. But it's never been advertised. You have to find it by word of mouth or by a Google search or just find, you know, doing a search for talks and finding the website. There is a website, mysticalprinciples.com, and it's a repository for all the talks that I have up to date. Mine and Herb Fitch's. I never put Joel's on there because his are copyrighted, and I don't want any problems with that. And also, they don't want you to call yourself Infinite Way, so I don't do that either. I call it Mystical Principles. Alright, so he says, you must realize that those who enter the place where the meeting is held are not being attracted by a room, regardless of how beautiful it may be. They are being attracted by the consciousness of truth. They enter the consciousness of your spiritual household, and therefore everyone in the meeting enters the household of God as a guest, as a brother, a sister, a son, a daughter. Divine consciousness, which is your consciousness and mine, enfolds all who attend the meeting. Embraced in this consciousness of truth, God's grace permeates the being and touches the mind, soul, and body of each one. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? Those who enter the temple, which you are entering the temple of God, and receive blessing, redeeming, raising up, and restoring. Your mind, imbued with truth, is a law of harmony, healing, health, happiness, peace, and prosperity. And that's one of his pet principles. Your mind imbued with truth. But what is truth? That's what Pilate asked. What is truth? Christ Jesus said, I am the truth. And so, is truth a statement of truth? Is it a scripture? Is truth Is your mind imbued with truth, you reciting in your mind a scripture over and over? No, ma'am. No, sir. This is not truth. As Joel said once, this is the truth about the truth. But I am the truth. And this I is consciousness. Well, what is consciousness? Consciousness is conscious awareness. One time I left Los Angeles and I drove up to Northern California, up around Sacramento. And I was there for, I don't know if it was just for the day or if I was there for a couple of days, but I decided to go back home. And I got on the road, I think it's Highway 101 or whatever it is over there, Pacific Coast Highway. And I headed south toward Los Angeles. But I was several hundred miles away. And I had been traveling, and it was around 7:30, I guess, 8 o'clock, and I was hungry. So I saw a diner up ahead, and I pulled into that diner. I parked, I went inside, and there were three of my friends from Los Angeles sitting at a table. And of course, I joined them. Well, how could this happen? Out of all the places between Sacramento and Los Angeles, how could we meet like that? And the thing is that they were in my consciousness. I was consciously aware of them. And I told you before about the Subaru I bought when I came up here to North Carolina. And I had never seen a Subaru Outback. But once I bought one and I drove it home, I started seeing them everywhere because they were in my consciousness. I was consciously aware of it, of them. So what you are consciously aware of is in your consciousness. It is a part of your consciousness. If you are consciously aware of God, Spirit, it is in your consciousness. It makes up your consciousness, your conscious awareness. And so Joel says, I keep my mind stayed on God from rising in the morning until sleeping at night. Always, there is some spiritual truth active in my consciousness. And that spiritual truth is the Spirit. He's not saying that he walks around repeating memorized statements. No, he explained it in another place as, always there is some area of my consciousness receptive. Receptive to what? To truth. To I am the truth. Every word of truth which constitutes my consciousness is bread, wine, water, meat, life, and resurrection. Unto all who enter that consciousness. Yes, if you are receptive to the truth within, anyone who contacts you or reaches out to you touches that Spirit, that spiritual consciousness. You are not an isolated person, separate and apart from every other person this Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon. Each one is in you, and you are in each one, and all are in God. That's like that prayer that Jesus spoke toward the very end of his journey here on earth. You remember it? I'm gonna go find it. Hang on a minute. Christ Jesus prays, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us." See that? That's a similar prayer, isn't it? All right, so a little bit more here, and then I want to talk about consciousness. The truth embodied in your consciousness is the healing art, the forgiving authority, the redeeming power. Without this truth in your consciousness, you are nothing. Well, that's kind of a wake-up call. Without that presence in your consciousness, you are nothing. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and I am ordained to heal the sick, ordained by the grace of God, by virtue of the Word of God, which is now embodied in my consciousness. You who have been studying the Infinite Way, or any other truly spiritual teaching, 1, 2, 5, 10 years or more, must have a mind filled with truth, and not memorized statements of truth. The substance of truth must have taken root within your consciousness. This makes you an authorized, ordained healer, forgiver, redeemer, one who sets others free from material sense. Now, it doesn't mean necessarily that you come along and you heal somebody from leprosy, but you can come along and they can feel something from you, and before you know it, some problem they've been battling is solved. Because you have an effect. Because if you're imbued with truth, even just a little, in these 10-second meditations, or a little more in these 10-minute meditations, you have an effect. This makes you, authorized, ordained, because you have become filled with the spiritual truth, with the Word of God, which sets you free, and which sets all those free who come within range of your consciousness. You will realize that you have spent these years filling your mind and soul with God's Word. And that Word of God has come to fruition. And all who reach and touch you are blessed and receive benediction. The years of your study should have emptied out your old state of consciousness and built a new one made up of the Word of God. This Word of God, which constitutes your newborn consciousness, is life and truth and love to all who enter. So let's have a minute here. Right here where I am is spiritual consciousness. And all that the Father has is mine. And all that the Father is I. I want you to understand something very plainly, and if you don't understand it after I've said it, take some time to study it, contemplate it, take it in your meditation, take it in your meditations. I don't mean to, well, that's not true. Do you remember when Mary went to the tomb? Where is the Lord? They've taken my Lord away. You may have the feeling that they've taken your Lord away. But be of good cheer, because the next thing that happens is Christ appearing. And you're so shocked that you say, Master. There is no God up in heaven. There is no God there. There is no God that walked in the Holy Lands over 2,000 years ago. There is no God in Jerusalem. There's no God in Mecca. There is no God in Tibet. There's no God in San Francisco. No God in Hawaii. No God in North Carolina. There is no God that you need. He's going to say it in this chapter. There's no God that you need to tithe to or pray to, say the right kind of prayers. That is a concept we are all rising above now. In Him we live and move and have our being. And He lives in I. I live in Him and He lives in I. I and the Father are one. And that one is consciousness. And so God is not in a temple. God is not in a mosque. God is not in a church. God is in you. And that's the only place that God exists. God is in your consciousness. And your awareness, your conscious awareness of spirit, of the presence within you, this is the only God there is. Your consciousness. You know, I got here to planet Earth with the consciousness of supply. I've always had it. it takes no thought on my part. It operates automatically. My consciousness of supply can feed 5001 at least, because greater things than these can you do? And recently I realized that my consciousness is the comforter. And so I will never be without friendship, without love, without the companions that are so much a blessing to me, which is all of you. And so my consciousness is supply, and wherever I go, well, you could drop me in the middle of Siberia, and I don't speak Russian, and I don't have any contacts there, but consciousness would begin to function and draw to me what I need. And in a period of time, probably it seems to take about a year, I would be established. I would be pouring out something to help the community that I was in. I would be receiving wages. I would be receiving gifts. I would be receiving love in the form of supply. And I would be at the same level I am at now, because it's the level of my consciousness. My consciousness is supply, and so is yours. But you have to realize it. And my consciousness is the comforter. And so I have friends everywhere, because the comforter is omnipresent. My consciousness is the comforter omnipresent. My consciousness is supply, infinite. And the reason I came back here is to prove the principle that my consciousness is eternal life, unlimited. I came back to prove the principle that Joel gave us with his life, which is that world thought is not power. And so my challenge in this life has been to prove the non-power of physical problems. And the principles I work with and am working with are to realize the eternality, the omnipresence of eternal life, God life, God presence. And the second part, which is that this picture, this entire world dream, is non-power, has no power. In the presence of the Spirit within, it has no power. Yes, it certainly looks like it has power. It certainly feels like it has power. And it does, in your experience, until it comes in contact with the divine presence in your consciousness. Then it has no power. Then it is dissolved. And so we are here to recognize that I my consciousness and the Father are one. And I have, and I am, infinite supply, omnipresent comforter, and eternal life without opposite. Your consciousness is God. Only when you awaken to the Spirit within you, to the presence, not a statement of truth, but the actual presence. So, all who enter that consciousness enter the spiritual realm of freedom and harmony. You are inviting into that spiritual household the guest of God, those who are ready to enter the spiritual realm. This not only is a prayer or meditation that will benefit all who are gathered in that place, but because you exist in consciousness, not in body or place, everyone, anywhere who is reaching out for God realization is right where you are. Receiving the benefit of God's presence. Anyone reaching out to attain the presence of God is automatically where you are, because you are the presence of God in expression, but only for one reason. Your consciousness is unconditioned. You present to this world pure consciousness, and pure consciousness is God. There it is. Your consciousness is God. Because God is omnipresent, everyone reaching for God is where you are and is benefiting by this realization of the presence. Don't go out of here thinking that your thoughts are God. Don't go out of here thinking that your memorized statements of truth that you repeat are God. Go out of here in the realization that after your statements of truth, in your pause, when you feel an inner something, something moving, a presence, that presence is God. And where is it? I don't know you're feeling it. I could be sitting next to you on a park bench. No, I wouldn't be knowing what you're doing within. I might be enjoying the view, watching the dog chase the frisbee on the grass. But you, your consciousness, feeling the presence, is God. I am the truth, says your consciousness. I am the way, says your consciousness. I am the life, says your consciousness. When you enter a room dedicated to a spiritual purpose, there is quiet, there is stillness, and confidence, and peace. How did this peace get there? The answer is clear. Those who entered that room brought the peace that is there. You see this? The peace is brought there by consciousness. And it's infinite. It never runs out. It never diminishes. If you recognize where it's coming from, if you recognize, I bring the peace to this meeting. Here it is Sunday. We're hearing another talk. Bring the peace. Bring the peace at 11 so that I too can benefit from your consciousness. Because your consciousness is my consciousness when it is embraced by spirit. Whatever peace or quiet and confidence are in a room, whatever love is in a room, are brought there by those who carry these qualities in their consciousness. It is a question of what have you in your house? What do you have in your consciousness? So if you want supply, what do you have to do? You can't go seek it somewhere. You can't advertise for it. You can't beg for it. Well, you can, but you'll just have a pittance. If you want supply, Joel has told us this for years. If you want supply, you have to go where it is. And supply is not dollars. Supply is not money. Supply is not transportation, housing. Supply is that essence in your consciousness. Your consciousness is the substance of supply. So contact that consciousness. Feel it. Know it. Let it flow into you. Have your meditation. Feel the descent of spirit, of consciousness, entering your mind. Then your mind is imbued with truth, with I, with consciousness. And supply takes care of itself. It's the most magical thing you've ever seen. So what do you have in your consciousness? Do you have companionship? You say you're feeling lonely. Well, the way you demonstrate supply is to begin to pour out of your consciousness. This is the story of the crucible oil that never runs dry. You pour from your consciousness. And how do you demonstrate companionship? You do the same thing. You go within the consciousness and you begin to pour. You pour out love. You do acts of kindness and don't get caught. You make anonymous donations. You pour out from consciousness, not from a personal sense. You see, if you pour out supply from a personal sense, you'll run out of money. It won't take long. But if you pour out supply from the Father's supply, it never runs out. I'm telling you the truth. And if you pour out companionship, you pour out love, and it doesn't have to be in some big grandiose statement or experience. It can be in the little small things. I went to the supermarket the other day and I parked in the parking lot and I saw an older person that was struggling with their groceries, and this lady drove up on a motorcycle and got off her motorcycle, and before I could get over there, she went over there and helped the older person to put their heavy groceries in the back of the car. And it was an act of love. She was pouring out love, and it was totally spontaneous. And when she was finished, I beat my horn and I gave her the thumbs up. You see, watching that act of kindness, that act of love, it was in my consciousness, wasn't it? Yes, because I was going to go do it too, but she beat me to it. So, what do you have in your consciousness? What do you bring into this room, or this building, or this Sunday meditation, or talk? It is a question of what you have in your house. It is the temple of God, but what makes it so? Your being there in peace. Your being there in love. Your being there in mutuality. It is not the building that is the temple of God. It is you who are the temple of God. And you bring love and peace into the room through your consciousness. Now, this is not make-believe. You must practice the way, the infinite way. And when you're practicing this going within to the well, you are practicing the infinite way, the I am way. Let us say that you have 10 minutes to shut out the world, 10 minutes away from the telephone, 10 minutes for contemplating God and the things of God, 10 minutes for spiritual realization. It is only those who have in some measure been touched by the Spirit of God who have the capacity to sit for 10 minutes in this contemplation. What have I in my house? I have all that the Father has. Because your house is the Father. Your consciousness is the Father. And I'm sorry if I've taken your Lord away. But the real Lord, the real God, as I realized while I was holding that dog away from my face, God, the real God, help me. And the dog dissolved. And so, the real God is your consciousness. And there is no other. I have all that the Father has, for the Father has given his allness unto me. God has even breathed into me his life. Therefore, I have in my consciousness life eternal. I, the Christ, am come that I might have life, and that I might have it abundantly. I have in my house, in my consciousness, life and life abundant, infinite life, eternal life. I have infinite supply, because the Christ reveals that my Heavenly Father knows that I have need of all these things, and that it is his good pleasure to give me the kingdom. Now see, when you say that to yourself, it's the Father's good pleasure to give me the kingdom, it doesn't mean that there's a God somewhere that's going to give you an automobile or a house or a new arm or a new friend. It means that God's going to give you the kingdom, the consciousness of truth, the conscious awareness that I am within you, the conscious awareness of the essence, the substance. That's giving you the kingdom. I have the kingdom of God within me. And this is the kingdom of all that I shall ever need. I have in my consciousness eternal life, infinite supply, divine peace, and omnipresent comforter. As you contemplate this for 10 minutes each day, you carry into your world the awareness of all that God is and all that God has. You bring the peace that passes understanding into this, well, into your experience. Through your morning contemplation of truth, you make your house a temple of God. Love is not anywhere except where your being is, where your consciousness is. So don't go out there seeking love. Be your consciousness of love. And watch. It will flow to you from all over the universe and even from the invisible. You are in charge of your experience. Don't blame the government. Don't blame your neighbor. Don't blame your heredity. Don't blame the world. Don't even blame world thought. Just simply say, what must I do? Not why. You know, why is the wrong question. It has always been the wrong question. Why is life like this? That's the wrong question. It'll keep you searching for an answer forever, because there is no answer to world mind. There is no answer to world mind. You have to drop it. Recognize its nothingness, and then ask the right question. What? What do I have to do to prove this principle? You who have been led to a spiritual teaching have been given the grace to know the truth. What you find in the world is what you bring to it. What have you in your consciousness? You see, this was sort of a trick. This chapter is called Two or More Gathered Together. But if I had named it, it would have been, What Have You in Your Consciousness? Your consciousness is God. You have all that God has, but not by thinking, by listening, by hearing the word, by feeling the presence, by being consciously aware of an inner movement. Then you have, I am the truth. And that's what you bring then to the world. And that's what you experience in the world. I went down one time to a town that's maybe 80 miles away. And on the way back, I noticed a vegetable stand. And I love fresh vegetables grown in the soil here in North Carolina. So I stopped and I found some green peppers and tomatoes and corn and probably a cucumber or two. And I went up to the front to pay for them and, oh shoot, they didn't take any cards, no debit cards, and I didn't have any cash. So I said, I'm sorry, I forgot my money. I didn't bring any cash. And this couple I have never met walked up and said, hey, we'll cover it for you. And they paid for it. Wow. You see, you bring love to the situation, to the world, and the world gives you love. It reflects what you are. You are love. Did you know that? You are love. Your consciousness is love. God is love. Your consciousness is God. I have the grace of God. I have the peace of God. I have been given quietness, confidence, stillness. I have God's life, which is eternal, immortal life. The peace that you find is the peace that you bring, and it deepens if we are all conscious of being in a place to give and to share the spiritual grace. That each may contribute one to another the spiritual peace and comfort that God has given us in our period of meditation. And I'm going to stop there. I don't know if I'll have enough next week to do a part two, but I've got 1, 2, 3, 4 and a half pages to go. Well, we could try it. Let's see if we can fit it in. As you maintain your consciousness on the level of spiritual unselfishness, living your life in a constant prayerful attitude, now not constantly repeating words within. This is an attitude of receptivity, of listening. Living your life in a constant prayerful attitude of being a blessing and a benediction, not permitting any selfishness or any evil to enter your consciousness. Your consciousness will be as pure as what we call heaven. Your consciousness will be heaven. See, we live in our consciousness. You thought you were living in a world. You're not. You're not. And your job is to prove that you live in consciousness. Take these principles and prove it. And then nothing can take it away, because you will be living in heaven, your consciousness. Your concern is to live always in an attitude of forgiveness. My prayer is that you find God's grace. While you recognize human evil and make continuous efforts to eradicate it, you must keep the temple of God, which you are, clean. And you do this by not bearing false witness. Yes, you don't get caught up in the appearance. For a long, long time, you may not attain the complete purity where you can say, I know that my consciousness is the temple of God, because it is completely empty of self. But, and this is the thing you need to circle and listen to, you can maintain it for periods of 10 minutes, or 4 or 5, and you can do that as many times a day as you are willing to do it. My consciousness now is the temple of God. In that emptiness, the world finds its entrance into your consciousness, and the world consciousness is dissolved. The Master said, I have overcome the world because that I was pure. And the I within you is pure. You don't make it that way. Okay, so we're going to run over, but just a little. Purity, pure consciousness, is an absence of self. And I am forever saying that silence, which is another form of another word for purity, silence is not an absence of sound. Silence is an absence of self. And there it is. Purity is an absence of self. Not an absence of consciousness self, but an absence of human personal self. As you enter the tabernacle of God, have no hope, have no desire. In fact, this is beautiful. In fact, do not even be there. So when you enter your temple and invite consciousness, then do not even be there. Let the personal sense of self dissolve for those 10 minutes, and let consciousness come forth as a flower comes out of the crack on a sidewalk. Let consciousness seep into you and out. Let your consciousness be as devoid of you as it can be. Let it be an emptiness. Let it be a holy tabernacle. Let it be an ark of the covenant. Let it have no person. That's a beautiful paragraph. My consciousness is the temple of God. My consciousness is a house of refuge. Even the sinner can enter here and be forgiven. Let the sinner find peace. Let the thirsty find drink. Let the hungry find meat. Let the sick find health. Let the dead find life in this sanctuary, which I am. This holy temple, where I am not, but I am. Yes, consciousness is what I am. On the spiritual path, you must die to mortality. Once you have learned that there is no far-off God to whom you must sacrifice, tithe, or give, you will know it is your mode of expressing gratitude for God's gift and God's grace to you. Watch this. There's an exercise right there he just gave you. You are a child of God only as your life is an expression of good, of grace, without a single trace of desire for a return. In that contemplation that began with my consciousness is the temple of God just now, there was no personal self looking for anything, not looking for supply, not looking for health, not looking for love. It was just a simple realization that I can pour out. I have life, I have drink, I have water, I have meat, I have peace, because I am consciousness. It is God giving through you. It is God sharing through you. And God asks no return. The Master taught us to pray in secret and to give our benevolences in secret. Why? There must be no selfhood around. True, the other person, for the sake of his salvation, must express gratitude and thanks and give recognition and acknowledgement, but not for you. In the same way, you must express joy, peace, gratitude, and sharing, not for the other person, but only as a mode and means of letting God flow through your consciousness. Only I can be a temple of God. Only consciousness can be a temple of God. There is an attitude of emptiness, a vacuum, in the inner sanctuary or temple, which is I am. So, can people enter a room where a dedicated consciousness has been praying, even after the person has left, and find healing, comfort, forgiveness? I went down in South Carolina to a spiritual retreat area where a very, very holy man had spent some time. And he was gone, even gone from the earth. But I walked in this one room and, oh my God, it was instant. I could feel the presence where he had spent time meditating. I mean, it was wonderful. And so he says here, a church that is graced by such a minister, priest, or rabbi becomes a sanctuary. The very room takes on the atmosphere of the consciousness. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Drop your burdens. Here there is sanctuary. Father, be a light unto those who enter this temple. Be their joy. Be their renewal. come, all ye that labor and all ye that are heavy laden. I, the Spirit of God within me, give you rest, security, safety, peace, and joy. And more than all else, I am come that you may have life, and that you may have life more abundant. This I, the Spirit of God in me, is here for the one purpose, that you who look unto me might find this life. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. And so, dear friends, go within, contemplate this, work with the principles. What have you in your consciousness? And there prepare ye the way of the Lord. Prepare ye the way of consciousness. Prepare ye the way of I Am, the infinite way. May God consciousness bless you and all who come within range. Thank you so very much. I am consciousness.